Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the very last Daf in the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Zayin, and we are learning today Le'ili Nishmas Morris Myers, Moshe B'Rebbe Eliezer. All the neshamos we learned for Shev and Aliyah, and Baruch Hashem, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for allowing us to reach this wonderful milestone of completing the beautiful Maseches Shabbos. We begin on the bottom of Kuf Nun Vov Omid Beis with the bottom Mishnah, about 10 lines up or so from the bottom. The Mishnah begins. Mechatchin, a person is allowed to go and cut up, chop up, esadiluyin, gourds, lifnei behema, in front of your behema. We had discussed this the other day, and this is telling us that a person is allowed to go and prepare this for his animals, even though the animals possibly could eat this without preparation, according to one opinion, or according to another opinion, it's not considered edible beforehand. Either the two opinions that we had would be you're allowed to do this because you can make a food that's already a food into a more appetizing food, or because you're making a food that's inedible and turning it into an edible food. So you're allowed to go and do this, and likewise, you can take this and avela, you can take a dead animal, and you're allowed to go and give it to your dogs, lufnei ha-kloven. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rehuda Omer, Rehuda says no. Im lo ha'isa nevela me'er of Shabbos, unless this animal is already dead before Shabbos, Rehuda l'shitaso, who's concerned about Muktzah throughout Hilchos Shabbos. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says this animal had to be dead beforehand, and therefore it was muchan, it was alive, then you're not planning on giving it to your dogs. So therefore, this animal had to have died before Shabbos in order for one to be able to go and cut it up on Shabbos. If it wasn't dead before Shabbos, it's not considered muchan, lefish eino min ha-muchan, and therefore you wouldn't be allowed to go and give it to your animals. Now, the Rashi points out over here, Shnisnav lahayom, ubein hashmashu, so yisrael medes liyodim, vavilochi mechatchin. The Tanakhama's opinion is, on the other hand, that you are allowed to go and cut it up, because the Tanakhama is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, that there is no concept of muktzah under most circumstances in Hilchos Shabbos. Gemara starts off and says, itmar. Now, we have a mnemonic over here, a simon, Ariel Shachaz, that's the simon that we have, the order of the Amoroim that we're about to have, three Amoroim that hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and three Amoroim that hold like Rabbi Shimon, and the Rabbeinu Chananel points out that the order in our Gemara is actually switched around, so instead of the second simon being Shachaz, the Ches and the Zayin are interchanged, and it should be Shin Zayin Ches, Shazach, instead of Shachaz. In any event, we'll see what we mean right now. The Gemara starts off and says, Itmar, the simon, Ariel Shachaz, or Shazach, simon, Amar Ula, Halach of Yehuda. The first opinion that we have, which is the Ayin of the word Ariel, is Ula's opinion, and he says, Dalach is in fact like Rabbi Yehuda, Bar Plukta with the Tanakhama, Rabbi Yehuda who holds from Muktzah. Now the Gemara then has in parentheses Ushmul Amar Halachik Rabbi Shimon. Most of the Mefarshim take this out because we're going to tell us what Shmuel's opinion was in a moment. When Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon, we'll list him along with all the Amoraim. That's the Shin in the word Shachaz or Shazach. That's Shmuel's opinion, like Rabbi Shimon, and that's why this is in parentheses here. It doesn't belong over here. In any event, Ula holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara says, the Af Rav, that's the Reish in the Simon Orel. The Af Rav, Sovar Halacha Yehuda, Rav also holds that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. And where do we see this from? Midi Karche Dezuze, from the fact that we have a person who is using these Karche Dezuze. Rashi explains that these Karche are machatzolos, the various mats, and the purpose of these mats was hasuyos lesfinos. They were put on boats, leschasos frakmatia shibisocha, and they would go and cover up. They'd be like a tarp that you'd put over the merchandise that you had on your boat. Rashi points out that the word zuze means boats, svinos, beloshen arami. It's an Aramaic term for boats. And therefore, he brings from the Truvas Hagonim, and therefore, these mats have a specific purpose. They are designated over here to cover up the business, your prakmatya, in merchandise, and therefore they're muktzah for anything else, like Rabbi Yehuda says. He holds the din of muktzah. Now, the Rav Asar, and we have that Rav said specifically that this is muktzah, it's Asar, you're not allowed to go and move it because it's designated for the covering up of the business, which is muktzah, the merchandise, and therefore the mats themselves are muktzah as well. And Shmuel Shari, here we also have the opinion that Shmuel allows it. Now, we'll see in a moment, Shmuel's going to very say that he allows it as well, like Rabbi Shimon. Finally, the third of the mnemonic, the word Lamed, the letter Lamed in the word Orel, that's Bat Levi, that's the opinion of Levi, Sov Aloch Rabbi Yehuda. He also holds that the Loch is like Rabbi Yehuda, Ki Hod Levi. As we see, Levi's opinion is as follows, Ki Habu Maisei Trefsa Lekame Biyomotova. You're allowed to Shecht on Yontif, as of course we all know, and If a person is going to need to check to see if an animal has any one of the yudches trefos, the 18 items that would make an animal not kosher, it's a kosher species, but if it has one of these abnormalities to it, internally or even externally, so then it becomes a trefa. So he would only examine these trefos when he was lo havechazila. He would only examine it elo ki yosef akil kalisa. He would only examine it while he was by the garbage dump. It's why he says alo ashpa shim yirena trefa, because if he then sees that the animal's a trefa, what are you going to do? He holds that it's mukta. So therefore, if the animal isn't mukhan to give to klavim, so then you're going to have to just leave it where it is. You don't want to leave it out in the middle of your living room, out in the middle of a road someplace. So he would examine it in the garbage dump. So if the animal was a trefa, he would just leave it there and it wouldn't spoil anything. It's already in the garbage dump. The opinion of Rabbi Akiva Eger over here brings down that the word akil klasa comes from, you have a pasuk where it says, me'ashpos yorim evyon, and the Targum translates the word me'ashpos as mekal kilosa. That's where the root of this word is for a garbage dump. In any event, that's Levi's opinion. The Omar, Dilma lo miskashra, maybe I'll find that this animal is not kosher, but I feel a klav l'chase, and it's mukta. There you see that Levi holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So those are the three Amorayim that hold L'chumra, to be machmir, like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Now we have the Shazach, or Shachaz, it's actually in our order, is Shazach. Ushmu, that's the Shin, Amar Loch, Rabbi Shimon. He says the Loch is like Rabbi Shimon, and Bav Ziri, that's the Zion, that's why the Rabbi Nachman has the Zion coming ahead of the Chetz, because in our Gemara, the Gir says Ziri before the opinion that we're going to bring down from Rav Yochanan, which will be the Ches. So Ziri says, Aziri sov aloch Rabbi Shimon. He also holds the Mekel opinion by Muktzah, like the Tanakhama, like Rabbi Shimon. That's not, because we learned in the Mishnah in Beitza, where it says, Behemesh Mesav, Nebuchadnezzar animal died on Yontif, lo yiziz enemy mekoma. The Tanakhama says, you're not allowed to go and move it from its place. The Tirgum of Ziri, and Ziri said, you know why you can't move this animal? Because it's only talking about behemas kachim, an animal that was hektish, so that you're not allowed to give to your dogs. The only way you can redeem an animal from hektish is if it's alive, it gets a mum, and you can go and redeem it in that situation. The money that you redeem it with goes to hektish, and you purchase another animal with it. And then the animal goes out to chulin. There's certain rules. This is a psulei hamukdashin. There's certain rules what you can do with it. And that's the only situation where you're not allowed to move it, if it dies on its own, on Shabbos or Yontif, because the animal is muktzah, even according to Rabbi Shimon in that situation, because it's not good for anybody. It's totally not good at all. And that's when Ziri says that's the only place where you're not allowed to move the animal. Behemus kachim. However, avo b'chulin, but if this had been a chulin animal and it died, there's no problem with muktzah, even though it died on Yontif unexpectedly. Avo b'chulin, it wasn't muchan at all. Shaper dummy, you can go give it to your animal. Oh, that's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, no muktzah, and Ziri holds like that. Finally, the Ches in the Nemanik, that is the last opinion, the third of the Amoraim that agree with Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Halacha Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yochanan also says the Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. So that's the three like Rabbi Yehuda and the three like Rabbi Shimon. Now, the last one was Rabbi Yochanan holding like Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara questions this. Gemara says, Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Halachik is Stam Mishnah. We normally have a rule that Rabbi Yochanan passes like a Stam Mishnah. Now, what is this Stam Mishnah? We learned in Beitza, Stam Mishnah. Utnan. We turn to the Amud Aleph. Ei Mevakin Eitzim in HaKoros. You now let go and chop up wood that was set aside for Koros. So it's a specialized wood. These are 2x4s. Rashi says, Savor shel koros, hamuktzos, usduros lebinyan. These are set aside for building. They're $20 a piece of wood. You're not going to go and take one of these expensive 2x4s and use it for firewood. Lechatrila, they're therefore set aside. So you're not allowed to go chop them up if you need firewood on Yantar because they're muktzah. Likewise, Loman Akora, Shinishbar B'Yom Tov. You likewise can't go and take a beam that broke on Yontif. It was previously a beam, but now it broke, so now it's firewood. But you're not allowed to go and do this on Yontif because it is Muktzah. So here you see this is a Stam Mishnah. This Stam Mishnah clearly holds from the concept of Muktzah like Rabbi Yehuda. And normally Rabbi Yochanan is the one who made famous the Shita that we paskin like a Stam Mishnah. So Rabbi Yochanan would hold like this Stam Mishnah. How can you tell us Rabbi Yochanan holds like the opinion of Rabbi Shimon that there is no muktzah, when here the Stam Mishnah, which Rav Yochanan Mistam holds like, says that there is muktzah. Shmuel says, Rav Yochanan, how can Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Masilei? This Mishnah in Beitza is not a Stam Mishnah according to Rav Yochanan. This Mishnah, he had that this was the opinion of Rav Yosef Yehuda. Then it's a Das Yochid, and he doesn't have to hold like that. Try again, Gemara says. I'll show you another Stam Mishnah that seems to hold like Rabbi Yehuda. So it's again, it's a Kasha and Rav Yochanan. Toshma, We have another Stam Mishnah from Beitzah where it says Maschilin ba'irei masateven, that if you have a bundle of straw, if you have straw which is used for firewood, and this straw wasn't good for anything else, so it was set aside for firewood, so then you're allowed to go and start using that straw on Yontif for firewood. However, but you can't go take out wood that is stored away for a future occasion for firewood. As Rashi explains, so you put it in some sort of like a shed or in the backyard behind your house, the hiksum, you set it aside, liyamos hastav, this was putting aside for the winter, for the colder season, and therefore you're not planning on using it this yontif to cook with. It was set aside. You put it by your hands inside this woodshed, and therefore you're using it. By the way, Rashi tells us that the word muktzah means a rechava shachori abatim shehiktzah achori beso lahak nisham dovel yotzer. The word muktzah means like a storehouse where you would put wood or other things there that you're storing away for some future time. So clearly this Mishnah holds like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Now this is Stam Mishnah. So therefore, how could Rabbi Yochanan say he holds like Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Yochanan should hold like this Stam Mishnah which holds for muktzah. Shmuel says, no, this is a unique situation. Again, here we're talking about something that even Rabbi Shimon would admit is muktzah. Rabbi Shimon, while he says he doesn't hold from muktzah in general, he holds from things that are absolutely set aside by a person, such as the grogrus and smukin that we've been talking about. You have the dried figs or the dried raisins. In the drying process, they're not really edible. So therefore, if you put them up on your roof to dry, so even Rabbi Shimon holds that that is muktzah. So too, this wood in this muktzah, hasam bi arze v'yashuche. We're dealing over here with very fancy type of wood. Rashi says this is an erez zohar, that's the arze, and v'yashuche or is erez nekeva. It's male and female types of cedar wood. Sha'omdim lebinyan. These are specifically set aside for binyan. Again, these are the fancy 2x4s. These are the fancy pieces of wood, $20 a piece of wood that you're not using for firewood. So even Rabbi Shimon admits in this situation that this is considered muktzah. And I feel Rabbi Shimon Moda the Gemara says that this is muktzah, and therefore this is not a stam mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda. This, in fact, is a stam mishnah that goes even in accord with Rabbi Shimon. That's how Rabbi Yochanan would have to learn this mishnah in Beitza. Finally, we tried it one more time, and here we're going to find the stam mishnah that holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and we're going to be a little bit stuck until we give an answer that there's a machlokis here. So Gemara says, Toshma. I have another mishnah from Beitza. Ein mashkim v'shochtin amsimid barios. You have a prohibition against going and watering. They used to go and water the animals before they shecht them in order to make sure that the animal wasn't dehydrated. In this way, they would be able to flay the animal a little bit more easily. If a person is dehydrated, for example, his skin tents. The skin is a different consistency than if a person's well hydrated. Same thing with the animals in the stomach. So they would go and water the animals before they shecht them, so it make it easier for flaying. That's not the critical point here. That's just, Rashi said, that's just thrown along for the ride. And Urcha de Milsa Narkai, just giving us the normal way to do this, Mishum Sircha, so it shouldn't adhere to the rest of the flesh. The skin should be easily flayed. In any event, the critical part is, Ein Mashi, not allowed to water these animals, Vishokatin, and you're not allowed to shecht them, as Hamid Barrios. These are animals that are clearly muktzah. The Bar in Beitza has a machlokis exactly what these terms are under what circumstances, has three categories. We'll just say for right now that these Hamid Barrios, Rashi explains here, shiroz ba'afar, they're tumit, they're all the way out in the pasture, and they don't come home at night. They stay out there for months at a time. So these are like wild domesticated animals, so you're not allowed to go and shecht these because they are muktzah. However, abu mashke v'shokten is abayosos, but you're allowed to go and shecht the ones that come home, so to say, that those are on your mind because they're near enough by that if I'm hungry, I could go and take one of those animals and shecht it. So clearly, you see, this is a Stam Mishnah Beitza that says that there is a concept of Muktzah. So, Kash and Rav Yochanan, how can he say like Rav Shimon when there's a Stam Mishnah like Rav Yehuda? So, where it says, Rav Yochanan, Stomu Achrino Ashkach. Even Rav Yochanan says that if you have a machlokas between two Stam Mishnayos, so that you can't pass on like both of them. So, here, while there is this Stam Mishnah Beitza about the animals that are Midborios that are Muktzah, Rav Yochanan has another Stam Mishnah that says like him, like Rav Shimon. What's his Stam Mishnah? So, the Gemara brings down a machlokes here between Beishami and Beisil. How can you say this is Stam Mishnah? So we have a rule that Beishami, Mokum Beisil, ain't a Mishnah. So the opinion of Beishami is totally ignored. And we'll sometimes say that Beisil's opinion is called the Stam Mishnah. So this Stam Mishnah, another Mishnah in Beitza, says as follows. Beishami Amrim. Now the gears that we have it is the first opinion is that Beishami is the more makel opinion, which is surprising. And then we'll change around and say, no, that's a mistake. And the Beisil is the more makel opinion. So we start reading this Mishnah as follows. Beishami Amrim, Magbin, Me'al HaShulchan, Atzomus Uklipin. Beis Shammai's opinion is that there is no concern of muktza, like Rabbi Shimon, and you'll be allowed to go pick off the table after you finished eating the bones that are left over and the klipin, the shells that are left over, and you're allowed to take them away with your hand from the table because there is no concern of muktza. Now, Beis Hillel disagrees. Beis Hillel, according to this first version, is masalik as a tadla kula umanara. You're not allowed to go and remove the bones and the shells with your hands. What you can do, however, is lift up the whole table. They had smaller tables than we do. They didn't have a big dining room table. They had individual tables. And you can go and take your tray, take your table away, and go and throw off from the table. You bring the table to the garbage, and you tilt it, and you throw off all the atzmos and klipin from your table. That's the girsa that we had. However, Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman comes along and says, Nanu, Anu, Ein Lanu Ella. No, that's not the girsa that we have. Ella, our girsa is as follows. Ein Lanu Ella, Beis Shammai Rav Yehuda, and Beis Hillel Rav Shimon. No, we flip around, and we have Beis Hillel being the Momeko first opinion, and that is the Stam Mishnah, even though it's a Machlokes Beis Shammai Rav Hillel, as I said. That's called the Stam Mishnah. This is where Rav Yochanan says, here's the Stam Mishnah, the Pasuk Rav Shimon. Granted, we have the other Stam Mishnah, Beitza, with the Midbarios, that seems to Pasuk Rav Yehuda, so you have a conflict between Stam Mishnayos, but it's not a problem in terms of the conflict, because one is Rav Yehuda, one is Rav Shimon, but therefore that negates the rule that Rav Yochanan says, we Pasuk always like a Stam Mishnah. We do Pasuk like a Stam Mishnah, except when the Stam Mishnah is in Machlokes with another Stam Mishnah, and therefore, bottom line is, Rav Yochanan passes like the second Stam Mishnah here, like the opinion of Beis Hillel, that there is no muktzah like Rabbi Shimon. Finally, Gemara concludes this discussion. It says, Pligibor of Acha v'Ravina. We have a machlokes between Rav Acha and Ravina. This is a Shas discussion here, right at the end of the Masechta, going and summarizing the machlokes of Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon throughout our Masechta. Now, some say this goes only in dealing with muktzah, but others say, no, this goes with all the other machlokes in of Rabbi Shimon review that we had, Dover Shein HaTzrich L'Kufa, Dover Shein HaMeskavin, all these other machlokes we have between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, they're also included in this rule. What is this rule? Chad Amar, one of the two, we don't know whether it's Rav Acha or Ravina, one of them said, they call our Shabbos Kula, and all of the Masechta's Shabbos, Halach Rabbi Shimon, when we have a machlokes Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. And each one of these mandiyama says one different scenario that we paskin against Rabbi Shimon. So the first opinion is Chadamar, again we don't know which one it is. Mechol Shabbos Kula Halach Rabbi Shimon Levar Mi Muktza Machmas Miyus. The only exception to the rule is that we say when something is muktza because it's disgusting, if something is so terrible, even though Rabbi Shimon says there is no din of muktza in this situation, here we follow the opinion of Yehuda that says this is muktza. Mind you, give me an example of this. So the Gemara says, Ner Yoshan. We're dealing here with a lamp, a candelabra, that has been used previously. Now, they're dealing over here with earthenware vessels, klicheres, and these klicheres are very, very much ruined and spoiled and foul-smelling after they've been used once. So you're not allowed to use this on Shabbos, and you're not going to use this as a paperweight, you're not going to use this as a storage container because it's so foul-smelling. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon would say, no, you're still allowed to move it because it's not a concern because we don't have muktzah machas mios. And the opinion of Yehuda is that we are concerned here, and this is the one exception. We don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Shimon, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. That's the opinion of either Rav Acha or Ravina. We don't know which one. The other one said, no, B'chadamai, no. The muktzah machas mios, nami alok Rabbi Shimon. Even in regards to muktzah machas mios, we pass like Rabbi Shimon. And this would not be muktzah. So this near Yoshan, if you want to use it as a paperweight, Rabbi Shimon would say you're allowed to move it. Now, where don't we paskin? What's the one example, according to this other opinion, that we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon? Levar, mi muktzah machmas iser. That is a different category. Here we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. And what is that? Umayin you, what's this muktzah machmas iser? Ner shidliku bo b'yosu Shabbos. When you light the candles for the Shabbos lift on Friday night, what happens when those candles go out? Obviously, when the candles are still lit, everybody says you're not allowed to move them. But what happens when the candles go out? So Rabbi Shimon says you're allowed to move it. And Rabbi Yehuda says, you're not allowed to move it. So this is muktzah machmas iser. Here we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. But according to the second opinion, abu muktzah machmas chisor and kiss, that we in fact, I feel Rabbi Shimon is moda. It's not that we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon. We do in fact paskin like Rabbi Shimon because Rabbi Shimon is moda, that there is a concept of muktzah machmas chisor and kiss. And where do we see that? It's not. Because we have a Mishnah that we learned previously in Amasechta, Kol HaKelim Nitolim Shabbos. It said all utensils are allowed to be moved on Shabbos, and Rashi explains Afilu Melachta LeIsser, even if it's something that is a Klisha Melachta LeIsser. And this was the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, with one exception: Chutz Mimesar Hagadol. all utensils allowed to be moved on Shabbos, even if they're muktzah utensils, with the exception of something that is an extremely expensive type of utensil. Mimeser hagadol, Rashi explains, this is some sort of a big plane, a cutting implement. Megira shehilu umnin, lakutz bo eitzim, this would be like a power saw of some sort that you designate specifically only for your trees. It's an expensive piece of equipment, and it's muktzah machmas chisaron kis, because it's so expensive, you would never use it for anything else, because you're concerned that you'll break it. If you used to cut something, used to cut an animal, you want to use this to cut an animal, you're afraid it will break on the bone or something like that. And therefore, if you ruin this, you make a pagan in it, it's going to be no good. So therefore, even Rabbi Shimon would say you can't use this. All the other kelim you can use, but you can't use this plane and one other implement as well. Besides this Meser HaGadol, the Yosech HaMachresha, what Rashi explains is a coulter, which is a certain type of digging implement, a chofer es hakarka, and this is so specialized as well that you wouldn't use it for something else. But with the exception of these two, we learned this previously, there's some other exceptions there as well, with the exceptions of these two kalim that are muks, mamachmas, chisar, and kis, because they're so expensive, you're allowed to go and use any of the utensils. This is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So, this is a Shas Machlokis with Shimon and Yehuda, and the Gemara here paskins like Rabbi Shimon, which is the way we in fact paskin, with of course many different ramifications and qualifications of this rule. Now we go to the final Mishnah in the Perek, in the Masechta, the beautiful Masechta Shabbos. The Mishnah starts, Mefirin Nedarim Shabbos. A person is allowed to be made for his wife's Nedarim Shabbos. We have to know the terminology here. Mefirin is a terminology we use for a husband or a father to be made for his wife or his daughter, respectively, their Nedarim, with all the rules of when this applies, which we'll learn a little bit now, as opposed to Hatara. We do Hataras Nedarim before. Rashan Yom Kippur, those that have that minhag. So this Hataras Nedarim, so this is when a basin of either Hedyotos or a basin of a mumcha, a single mumcha, or three Hedyotos are allowed to be go and matir a person's nether. So we use different terminology for a husband or a father that's mefir the nether, or a basin that's matir the nether. So the Mishnah tells us, mefir in Nedarim Shabbos. You're allowed to go and be mefir a nether on Shabbos. The husband over here can go be made for his wife's Nedarim on Shabbos. And then it says, what seems to be a separate statement, like we'll have a whole discussion about this, v'nish'alu l'nedarim she'elon tzoreich Shabbos. And you're allowed to go to a Beis Din to be matir your neder, that's called nishal, to ask them about your neder, to be matir it. But that you're only allowed to do, the Mishnah says, l'tzoreich ha-Shabbos. That you're only allowed to do if it's necessary for Shabbos. Let's say you said you're not going to eat cholent. You made a neder, you're not going to eat cholent. Now you want to eat cholent on Shabbos. Or you said you're not going to go to a certain shul, and now you need to go to that shul on Shabbos. So you can go show all that neder on Shabbos because it's a tzorech Shabbos. But if it has to do with a weekday need, you're not allowed to be showing it on Shabbos. The question will be, and the Gemara will ask, does this only go on the Nishalin, or does this go on the Mefirin as well, this Letzorech Shabbos concept? That's the first part of the Mishnah I will spend most of the Gemara on. Then we have the rest of the Mishnah, which we'll talk only briefly about in the Gemara, because most of this has already been discussed early in the Masechta. The Mishnah then says, U'pokikin esamor, a person is allowed to make a closure of a window, since the window was already in some way started beforehand. That's the way we paskin over here, like the opinion of the Chacham, that this is only a binyan aroy. It's not a complete binyan. And therefore, you can go and close off your window. Maor is a window, making this not a problem of binyan on Shabbos, because it's already been somewhat closed off, and therefore you're allowed to fully close it off, as opposed to the opinion that we learned previously of Rabbi Eliezer, who says you're not allowed to go and be pokikin es hachalon. Mishnah continues and says, likewise, umodidin es hamatlis, a person will be allowed to go and measure a garment. The Rashis are a little bit out of order over here. So the Rashi says, es hamatlis, if you want to figure out, the Bach adds, yodet lo das, leida, if it is shalosh al shalosh et bos, if this garment, the shmat over here, has the minimum size of 3 finger breadths by 3 finger breadths, and this way it could be accepting tumah. And you want to know, therefore, if this item was tumah, if it was Tmeya, can it go and transmit the Tumah? Did it have the significant shear? So you'll have to go measure it, because you need to know for Hilchos Tumah and Tara. You're allowed to do that on Shabbos Yontif. Umodin Samikva, you likewise allowed to go measure a mikvah to see, does this have a kosher mikvah status to it? Does that 40 saw, which they would measure out the dimensions of it, which is, it has to be a height of 3 or a depth of 3 of the water, and 1 by 1 amma in the length and width. So if the mikvah is that measurement, it holds 40 saw. So you'll have to see, well, I need to know for Shabbos, was I going in this mikvah, a kosher mikvah or not? Was this a kosher mikvah or not? So you'll have to go measure this out on Shabbos. And the Gemara has a proof to these latter statements here. Umaisa b'imei aviv shel Rabbi Tzadok u'mei Abba Shaul ben Batnis, during the days of these two great Chachamim, Rabbi Tzadok's father and Abba Shaul ben Batnis, they in fact did this lakula. Shepakuk was more betafiyach. The Gemara will explain exactly what the case was. They in fact plugged up an existing type of a hole in a wall, a window-like structure. They allowed them to do that because she was a makida begemi, and they allowed them to tie to a makida is a certain kli cheris, Rashi says, which they was exactly a certain dimension, and then they lowered it with a reed. They lowered it through this hole in this structure to see exactly what size it was. Was this a one tefach by one tefach hole or not? So they were able to go and do all of these different activities, including pokikin, koshira, and as well going and measuring. So, and they did this late, the emyesh bagigis, if there was a certain hole in a barrel that was poseach tefel lad, that was a certain size, as we'll see, the Gemara will say whether a certain tumas meis was able to get through this or not, or would it spread underneath this gigis. And they allowed them to do this. Umidivrayim, from this maisa, lamadu, the three things that I just said, shepokin, you're allowed to go and plug up this window, umodin, you're allowed to go and measure, and kosher, and you're allowed to go and tie the Shabbos. The Gemara will just quickly tell us the story. I gave it to you a little bit, what the circumstances were. The Gemara will flesh it out a little bit more. Now we start off with the Gemara. And we asked mostly on the beginning of the Mishnah, but the Mefirin, we said, it didn't mention any specifications about doing the Tzorach Shabbos. But by the Nishalim, by the Ataris Nadarim, it specifically said only the Tzorach Shabbos. So the Gemara asked the question, Ibai Lahu, Hafarah, that which we said you're allowed to do Hafarah, the husband can be made for his wife's nether. That is, it didn't mention anything about Tzorach Shabbos. So is that Bein Letzorach, Bein Shalom Letzorach, has something to do with Shabbos, even if it has nothing to do with Shabbos? And the Shela was Letzorach only in Shalom Letzorach Lo. But if it wasn't for Tzorach Shabbos, you're not allowed to go be Matirit. And that's why Mishum Hachi, Kapal Ginu, Mehadadi. That's why the Mishnah separated them into two separate statements. It didn't say Mefirin Matirin. It said Mefirin on Shabbos. And then it said Matirin on Shabbos, because the Matirin is only Letzorach Shabbos. And the Mefirin would be even Shalom Letzorach Shabbos. Or, Odilmo, maybe not. Maybe that, in fact, is not the reason the way that we should learn the Mishnah. Hafara nami letzorach in shalot tzorach lo. No, in fact, both Hafara and Hatara are only allowed to be done if it's letzorach Shabbos. Why did it separate them then? Behold, the kapolig lehu me'adadi. Why did it seem to separate it out into two separate clauses? Is because they're slightly different than each other. Mishum dafara ain't tzorach beisdin, because hafara doesn't require a beisdin. Ushela tzricha beisdin, and the shela requires a beisdin. Either a single mumcha can act as a beisdin in this situation, or certainly three mumchas, or even three hedyotos. This is a unique rule of Hataras Nedarim. Again, coming up on the minhag of Hataras Nedarim, and Klai Yisrael to do this before Rosh Hashanah. Some do it also before Yom Kippur. So this is a unique type of base. And you just pick three guys in the shul. It can even be relatives of each other. It could be brothers or a father and a son, etc. This has a number of unique kulos in it in terms of Hataras Nedarim, but you need this base in to do Hataras Nedarim. That's why it's separated out, because one is by the father for his daughter or the husband for his wife, and that doesn't require base in. But the second one does. That's why it's separate out. But in fact, halacha is the same. They're both only letzorach in, shelo letzorach lo. So which is the correct way to learn the Mishnah? So Gemara says, Toshma, bring your right from the following braisa. The Tani Zute Devei Rapapa. Zute, the name of a Talmud Chacham, in the Beis Medrash of Rapapa, said the following braisa. Mefirin Nidorim b'Shabbos letzorach ha-Shabbos. On Shabbos, you're only allowed to be made for Nidorim. The husband is made for his wife. That all letzorach Shabbos. It says, Beferish, only letzorach Shabbos. So therefore, that's our answer. Letzorach Shabbos in, shelo letzorach Shabbos lo. So asked and answered. That is, in fact, the second way we said to learn the Mishnah, that it's talking both of them, only letzorach Shabbos and not shelo letzorach Shabbos. And the reason why it's separate is because one requires a basin, one doesn't require a basin. That's version number one that we have of his statement. Now, we have another version. Lishna achrina, which we're going to bring down in a moment, the statement that Zuti made from the Beis Medrash of Rapapa. And first we have to introduce it with the following statement. Ibarlu, they asked in the Beis Medrash, Litzorech Atavayuk Tani, when we had in the Mishnah that you only allowed to do Litzorech Shabbos, does that go on both parts? V'shelo Litzorech Lo, but on both parts, Matirin and Mefirin, if it's not Litzorech Shabbos, you're not allowed to. Alma, what do you see? If that's true, Hafaris Nedarim Yesleis. If this is true, that you learn the Mishnah that way, that both of them are only Litzorach Shabbos, yes, and Shelo Litzorach Shabbos, no, so that must mean that Hafaras Nedarim is Me'es Leis. Now, what do we mean here by Me'es Leis? We know that the husband is only allowed to be made for his wife's Nedarim, B'yom Shomo, on the day that he hears it. Now, how do we find that day? Do we find it by a calendaric day, which ends at the Shkia? Or do we say, no, it's a 24-hour period of time. That's called Mies Leis. So let's say the husband hears it at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, his wife makes a neder. So does he only have to shkia at 6 o'clock to be made for the neder, and after that he can't? Or no, he has till 2 p.m. the next day. That's called Biyom Shom'o. So if you're telling me that you're not allowed to be made for a neder on Shabbos, Shalom Litzorek Shabbos, it must mean that you're still able to be made for the neder after Shabbos. So if you did a wife did a neder on 2 p.m. Shabbos afternoon, if you weren't allowed to be made for it after Shkia, after Shabbos is over, then it's too late. That's no longer Biyom Shamo. That's already the next day. So then you'd be allowed to do it on Shabbos. So what do we see? The fact that we said you're not allowed to do something Shalom Litzorek on Shabbos, it must mean that Shabbos doesn't end the calendaric day, but you go 24 hours, Meis Leis. So here, Alma, how far is the dark? Meis Leis. Since you have till 2 p.m. Sunday, so there's no reason to do Shalom Litzorek on Shabbos. That's what we want to suggest. Oduma, maybe not. Kiketani Litzorek, when our Mishnah said Litzorek, it only meant in regards to Hatara. Ashelahu Diktani, it only goes on the Beis Din. Avol hafaras nedarim, since we go by the calendaric day, and therefore once Shabbos is over, even though it was 2 p.m. when they made the neder, Shabbos is over at 6 p.m., that's it, end of the discussion, you can no longer, the husband can no longer be made for his wife's neder, so then, afilu shelo litzorech, then even if it's not so Shabbos, you're allowed to be made for it, because if not now, when will you do it? The opportunity for you to be made for your wife's neder is going to end at the end of Shabbos. So even shelo litzorech Shabbos, you can be made for the neder. Amo, afaras nedarim, kol yom. So this is the way to understand the machlokes. It's based upon what is the halachic opinion, which we'll see eventually is a machlokes, as to whether by hafaras nedarim we go mi'eis la'eis, or we go by the calendaric day. So Gemara says, let's bring a raya from Zuti, what he said in the Beis Medrash of Rav Papi. So, Toshma, the Tani Rav Zuti, Devei Rav Papi, Rav Zuti learned in the Beis Medrash of Rav Papi the following braisa, the one that we just said before, if you're in the Dharma Shabbos, the Torah Shabbos, that you're allowed to go be made for the Dharma Shabbos, only Litzorek Shabbos. Oh, it must be Litzorek Shabbos in, since you're only allowed to do it Litzorek Shabbos, it must be Shalom Litzorek Shabbos Lo, therefore, Almo HaFares Nedarim Yeis Leis. Therefore, since you don't have to do it on Shabbos, because you'll still be able to do it till 2 p.m. Sunday, in my analogy, in my case, so therefore, it must be that we paskin HaFares Nedarim is Me'eis Leis. Oh, that's how we use the statement of Zute from the Beis Medrash of Rapapi, according to this Lishna Achrina. Gemara says, but wait a second, we got a braisa that disagrees with this. Amar Vashi, what nan tanan, but we learned in a Mishnah Nedarim, hafaras Nedarim kol hayom. It says, according to this opinion, that you'll have to be made for all day long. What does that mean, all day long, kol hayom, yom shamo, v'yesh b'dov l'hok l'hachmir? But it means, as we'll see, the calendaric day, and not the Meis Leis, because there's an aspect over here that could be a kula, and an aspect could be a chumra. What do we mean? Ketzat. For example, Nodra Lele Shabbos, if the woman made the neder 10 minutes after the Shkia, so it's Shabbos, it's Friday night, it's 6:30, and the day of Shabbos started at 6 o'clock, and she makes it right after Shabbos started, so Nodra Lele Shabbos, so then made for Lele Shabbos, the husband can be made for it all Friday night, Be Yom Shabbos, and all Shabbos mornings, all Shabbos afternoon, Asher Techshach, until 6 o'clock, so it's almost a full 24-hour period of time that he can be made for the neder. That's L'chumra. Nodro im Kashecha. But if she makes the neder at 5:55, Shabbos afternoon, and Shabbos ends at 6 o'clock, so Nodro im Kashecha, if she makes the neder right when Shabbos is about to be over, so then Nefer Achelo Techshat. So the husband has 5 minutes to be made for the neder. You go by the calendaric day. Shim Lo Hefer, if he's not made for it then, Misha Kashecha and Yochel Ofer. He can no longer be made for it because it's now no longer Biyom Shamo. So what do you clearly see from this Braisa, Rav Ashi says, from this Mishnah in the Dorim? You clearly see that we do not go Meis Leis, but we go by the calendaric day, Biyom Shamo. So you have a stira from this Mishnah onto the Braisa that Rav Zuti taught. So Gemara says, no, this is a Machlokes Tanoim. You're 100% right, Tanoihi. The Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Hafaras Nedarim Kol Yom. The Braisa here states Beferish that Hafaras Nedarim is all day long, goes according to the day of the calendar. And whenever the day of the calendar is over, by Shkia, that's it. You can no longer be made for the husband, you can no longer be made for the night, that's Biyom Shamo. And then along comes Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. They both hold Amru Me'eis Leis. No, they hold the Me'eis Leis. So the way that Rav Zuti understood it is like the opinion of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. And the way the Mishnah and the Dharma understands it is like the Tanakam over here in this price. So it's a machlokes Tanoim. Gemara continues and quotes the Mishnah, says, Inishol and Hadarim, and we're allowed to go and be Shol Neder on Shabbos. Gemara says, Yibarlu. Are we talking about that you're allowed to be shol and neder on Shabbos, even if it's only Litzorek Shabbos, but it's only when you didn't have a chance to do it on Friday? Even if you had a chance to do it on Friday, you said, I'm too busy, I'll do it some other time. And now you want to come to the Beis Din on Shabbos when you have plenty of time, you have free time, and now you want to ask them. Now, it's the Tzorach Shabbos, but you had the opportunity to do it on Friday. So, are you allowed to do it on Shabbos if you had the opportunity to do it on Friday? Certainly, if you didn't have the opportunity to do it on Friday, so then everybody says, that's the Tzorach Shabbos, you'll have to be matrid on Shabbos. But what happens if you had the opportunity to do it on Friday, can you still be matrid on Shabbos? So, Toshma, bring it right for the following price. So, these dakiku le rabbanon Rav Zutra b'reid Rav Zera. One time the rabbis came to be matir neder by this Rav Zutra b'reid Rav Zera v'sharu le nidre, and they in fact were matim from his neder on Shabbos. And here this case was the afal gav d'havale p'nai, even though he was able to have done it on Friday, and for whatever the reason he didn't. And therefore we see from here clearly that as long as it's the Tzorach Shabbos, even though he had the chance to do it on Friday, which you should have done it on Friday, but for whatever the reason, if you didn't do it on Friday, as long as it's Litzorech Shabbos, you can be Matir Neder on Shabbos, Litzorech Shabbos, even when you could have done it on Friday. Then we quote the Mishnah. It says, Shepaku some orbit of fiyah fikoshu some akida began me. And we said that that was the case that allowed us to see all three things. At the end of the mission, we said, from these words, we learned that you'll have to do pokekin, modedin, and kosher on Shabbos. What exactly was this case? So Gemara says, Amar Yudah Marav, this was the following story here. Hil kiti kitano haisa ben shtei batim. There was a passageway. Rashi says, Shvil koton ben shtei batim. There was like an alley between two houses. And in this alleyway, there was a person who was dying. And this would be the Tumas Meis. The Tumah Haisa Sham, that's what the Gemara says. There was going to be Tumah over there. We turn to the Amud Beis, the last Amud in the entire Masechta. And what was covering up this person that was about to die? The Gigis Stuka Munachas Agaban. Above this person who was about to die, this Meis Hamuto Behilkati, this person who's dying over here in this alleyway, he's underneath a Gigis, underneath the cover. Now, if he is in fact underneath an ohel, so then the tumah will spread out. When this person dies, the tumah will spread out and go everywhere underneath this gigas. And underneath this gigas, there was an opening, some sort of a passageway into the houses. So therefore, the tumah would have spread into the houses through this opening that was greater than a tefach by a tefach into the houses. Now, the people did not want this tumah to go into the houses. So what did they do? This gigas was stuka. It was a crack in this gigas, munachas agabin, that was over this person that's about to die. So what did they do? Upakiku es hamor b'tafiach. They went and plugged up the passageway, the hole, the window that was underneath this gigas from the alleyway into the house. So the window that was going into the house, it was more than a tefach by a tefach. They plugged it up by putting in some sort of a container over there, a tafiach, some sort of a kli cheres. And this way they plugged it up. And the kashu es hamakida, they then went and took additional kli cheres, another type of kli cheres, a mechida, which was exactly right. She says shiruch v'tefach, which was one tefach by one tefach wide, and they tied it to a string begemi, leida, and then they let it down through this crack in the barrel, in the crack in the barrel cover, in this gigas. Leida im yeshom begigas poseach tefach lav. If it was wide enough, there was a poseach tefach, then the tumah would go straight up through there and wouldn't be mahil, the gigas wouldn't be mahil over the tumah. The tumah has an exit way, and this way it wouldn't be spreading the tumah underneath the gigas if there was a hole of a tefach by a tefach. So that's the case, and there we learn that you're allowed to do the pokikin, you're allowed to do kshira, and you're allowed to as well measure it to see that it was the size of a tefach by a tefach. As we said in the Mishnah. Finally, we conclude this beautiful Masechta with the following story. Ula ikla be'reish galusa. Ula went to the Reish Galusa's house. Chazil Rabba Barafuna. He saw that Rabba Barafuna, what was he doing over there? The Yosef be'avuna. He was standing in a bathtub. Begigis b'leya mayim. He was sitting in some sort of a trough that was filled with water on Shabbos. In those days, they hadn't yet made the gzeira that you weren't allowed to take any sort of bath, even in cold water, on Shabbos. And he was measuring it. The Yosef ba'avuna d'maya, the komoshachle, he was measuring it. Now, Amalei Ula said to Rabba bar Rav Huna, wait a second, aim of the Amir Rabban, that which we just said, that you're allowed to go and measure. So, what is that referring to? The lav mitzvah. Isn't that talking about measuring a mikvah? The lav mitzvah. That's medida shel mitzvah. The lav mitzvah miyomer. Who says you're allowed to measure something that's not a mitzvah purpose? The only we allowed you, the heter, to go measure to see if it's a kosher mikvah, to see if it was the immersions in this mikvah were good, if things that had been immersed here are no longer tameh. But to go measure your bathtub, where did you get a heter for that? So the Gemara answers, Amalei, Rabba, by Ravuna, answers to Ula, and he says, no, I'm not really measuring over here. Misaseg ba'almo ano. I was just over here, shalol litzorich, Rashi says. Ela liyasuke bi'alma. I'm just twiddling my thumbs here. I'm just playing. I'm just measuring here, not for any purpose. I'm just stop measuring here. And therefore, there is no inyan, meleches machsheves on Shabbos. You have to do it for a purpose. Since there is no purpose over here, I'm just stop measuring. There is no iser in me doing this. Now, there's a lot more to say on this, but we'll leave this because we want to leave people a chance to make a siyum on their own to finish off the Masechta. So we will conclude for now. Hadron Alechem Isha Hechshich. Hadron Alechem Isha Hechshich. Hadron Alechem Isha Hechshich. Uslik Alam Masechta Shabbos. And we're concluding the beautiful Masechta Shabbos in the Daf Yomi cycle. Uslik Alam Masechta Shabbos. Uslik Alam Masechta Shabbos. Mitzvah Shem Ushim Yizochet to come back to Shabbos and learn it again and again and again. And Be'ezus Hashem start Erevin Be'ezus Hashem tomorrow. I thank you for listening to the entire Masechta Shabbos or whatever part that you listen. Mitzvah Hashem will start Erevin tomorrow. Have a wonderful Shabbos. It's Erev Shabbos today.